Well, let me tell you a little something about me. When it's Saturday night, I need to blow off some steam. One, two, three, four!
Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm Daniel.
Welcome to our show, my God. This is number three, Daniel.
It is.
They said it wouldn't last.
They did. Wait, who? Wait, nobody said it wouldn't last.
Oh, well, I thought they said it wouldn't last.
No, the only people that would say that would be jaded, hateful people that were talking about how I ended my solo podcast in order to do this much better podcast with you. So those people, forget them. We don't care about those people. You know what?
No.
Those people probably work for Anchor FM, just to carry on a theme.
Absolutely. We call them the naysayers.
Really?
Yes.
Like,
they're the naysayers.
Which was
my stripper name in the late 70s. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for naysayers.
Trying to think if there's a, like, sayers, like a S-A-E-A-R-S or something like this spelled like weirdly or.
Yeah, there could be that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. This is a great way to start the show.
It is.
So how you been, Daniel?
I've been discombobulated, but I'm fine. Scott?
Discombobulated. It's a discombobulating time, Daniel. This is such weird fucking times we're living in. Is there any normalcy to anything? I mean, I'm not even shitting right. It's not because I'm changing anything. It's just the times. It's like, I don't know.
The times. Yeah, they are weird times. You know, we just found out today at my place of employment that we will not be going back into our office until the earliest January of next year. So yeah, we are at home for another 6 months or so.
I think that this whole situation is going How's your whole family? I have to belch one moment, please. Excuse me.
Oh, for all time's sakes, will you do it correctly?
I have to belch.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, okay. Yes, I believe that there are going to be interesting changes and ramifications that are going to occur in event because of this situation of everybody at home. And one of them, I believe, is that it is going to accelerate the working from home concept, people working from home, because more and more and more people are doing it, showing that it works. And you have to have a lot of self-discipline, but
you do when you don't. Like, it depends on what your job is. So if your job I'm a computer programmer. I used to be a computer programmer. I'm actually now a business analyst, so I now spend more time in meetings
analyzing business.
Mm-hmm. And meetings really kind of keep you on track, right? So it's like, okay, well, even if I were farting around in the house, I've got another meeting, and we use Microsoft Teams. But yeah, it's a Teams meeting where we have that's why I have such a lovely video set up here. This is my office that I am normally videoing out of.
It is, and you know that wall is both Drew's and my favorite color.
It is live jazz from Home Depot. Thank you. Thank you.
Live jazz. As opposed to pre-recorded jazz, which is a much darker purple.
It is a much darker purple. No, it's a lovely color I picked out to paint my wall. But
our front door is purple.
I may have known that.
I don't know that when you were here.
I was going to say, I don't remember what the color your door was when you were here.
No, it was white, most likely.
Back to what we were talking about, though. Things are going to change.
Working from home?
You're correct. Working from home, the naysayers, the people that were keeping us from being able to work.
You just said naysayers.
The people who would normally say, like, you can't work from home because they'll never get anything done, have basically been proven, for the most part, wrong. So, yeah, you're right. It is a case where working from home is going to be a more prevalent thing in the future. In fact, my boss has already talked to me and said, you know, I don't really ever have to go back. It's like, I'm fine working from home for forever. Basically, I want to. I don't need to go back into the office at any point.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Although I still want an office there so that I could go back in for different events or whatever. So I still want a cubicle there that I could go back to if I needed to. Or you know, a hotel cubicle. That's a very big thing now. Hotel cubicles. They're just cubicles that have a dock. You just plug your laptop in and you have the keyboard and monitors already there, and you just basically.
I have never heard of this thing.
Ask your friends, Tom and Terry. They're IT. Terry, I believe, does a bunch of hot swapping over at Facebook.
Well, I always thought, now I need to talk to them, although I talk to them almost every day. I thought Terry just took his laptop to a whatever particular hotel. Don't know.
Yeah, but when I say a hotel desk is a industry concept, basically. It's just like, hey, here's a blank workstation that you can plug your laptop into and then all the screens come to life. So like,
how exciting.
So I have like,
I wonder if that's also an avenue for stealing information.
Well, no, because it's just monitor. It's a dumb desk. He's like, your laptop is what drives everything. There's no computer there. It's just keyboard and monitors and a dock.
Secret little flash drives sucking all your information.
Oh my God, stop it. Here's the other thing, because you could just do that on your laptop. It has nothing to do with the hotel. Like your security. Anyway, that's not important. The important thing is that I wanted to talk about, because I heard on a show that I listened to that's about cord cutting. And one of the topics that they were talking about on this last week's show was the movie industry. Like, what's the future of the movie industry?
He just got his cord cut.
As someone who works in the movie industry.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Because it feels like the exact same thing is happening in the movie industry that is happening in the work environment, where it's like all those people is like you can't make money if you just release it direct to video, because you know people want to go and have a movie experience in a theater, and you're not going to make as much money. But then they released that Trolls Worldwide Party, which made several hundred million dollars on just releasing it to people. Granted, we were under a pandemic and we had no other choice, but the point is, it kind of set it up as like, wait, is it really that big of a loss if all the movie theaters don't necessarily come back? Like, is it that big of a loss?
I have no fucking idea. None whatsoever. No inside information. I do know this, that the industry is going insane.
Yes.
Because the necessity, not only the necessity to show their films in a less than 6 feet apart situation, but they have to make movies where people are kissing each other and, standing very close. Because when you do a movie, this is an absolute non sequitur, but maybe important to the point. When you do a movie, and you'll notice it if you start looking for it, they call them two shots sometimes. The two shots, people usually are abnormally close together. I mean, weirdly, like you would never stand and speak to someone with your face 6 inches from that person. But you'll notice a lot of shots are like that. And it's necessary for lenses and such to get those people that close together.
Yes.
Well, that's rather an infection vector there. So anyway, they're going crazy that way, and they're going crazy with the movie theater. This situation is world-changing and life-changing and everything-changing. Nothing is going to be the same after this, because what we've come to realize, is I didn't realize how many things involve human beings being very close to other human beings. And that truly, I mean, that's a, it's a silly thing to say, but until I see how everything is.
Yeah.
Supermarkets, movie theater, sporting events, working situation, you're next to people.
Yes.
I've lived my life for the past, 11, 12 years being as far away from people as possible, not because I don't like people, but because I'm better off with just Gooch or Drew and myself and the dogs. I'm better off that way. My mental health is better that way. But when you look at what has curtailed and what has become necessary, you have to put a mask on to go grocery shopping. This is bizarre.
I mean, but it's becoming less bizarre, right? It's becoming fairly routine at this point in time, right? You keep your mask in your car, you go into the grocery store, you slap it on, and bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, that's such a deep, what did we want to talk about today?
I have no idea. We don't talk about this, do we? But what I wanted to say about the movie and television and all of those things, because you're right. The productions are shutting down and are on hold indefinitely until they can figure out some way to get crews and people back in to film these things and to actually have these things. You chose the wrong time to semi-retire, because I tell you, animation is in a rebirth here, because you can actually have voice actors record things separate Absolutely. From each other and have people animate separate from each other. So it's like
this has been in the works for a very long time, recording from home. I've been doing auditioning from home for 120 years, and now it's a situation where because the technology has advanced such that you can actually be on the phone with someone directing you and record your stuff at home and send off the files and they assemble it. So it's when I get auditions, that's what it is. You no longer come into the office, you record here. And if you have the setup, then if you get the job, you record it in your setup.
I'm just saying.
So
it's kind of like this podcast. You sit down, you record, I take the audio, I make it sound like you're actually here. And
It's magic.
It's magic. Mm-hmm. Speaking of magic.
Oh, is this going to be a good segue?
This is a good segue have you ever heard of Habitat for Humanity?
I have indeed, Jimmy Carter's organization, yeah. Precious Man.
They have...
not his organization, but he's very active.
They have stores around the United States called Habitat Restore, which is the easiest way to describe it. It's a Goodwill without the clothing. They take stuff from donations from old buildings. They usually do like commercial buildings. So you'd find a lot of tile in there, like somebody tiled a commercial building and they had a half pallet left or whatever. So, you know, there's ceramic
and these
tile.
Are across the country?
Yeah, these are across the country.
Wow.
They have tile, they have like laminate flooring, you know, chandeliers, ceiling fans, stoves, whatever. It's mainly homeware kind of things. But they do have a small section that has, just like homeware stuff. Like books and CDs and pictures and stuff like that. And we were at the Habitat store the other day looking for some bookshelves. And I happened to catch out of the corner of my eye this book, The Liberace Story.
Oh, that wonderful sound gets cut out, doesn't it? The Liberace Story.
The Liberace, you know, his friends call him Lee. It's the Liberace Story. Now, I have a long history with Liberace.
Oh, do you?
I do. When I was a wee child.
Oh. As opposed to the giant child you are now.
Correct. My mother would take my brother and I to Liberace concerts every year. So every year we looked forward to going to the Liberace concert in Lakeland, Florida at the convention center. And it was...
This surprises me.
Why does this surprise you?
Because your brother's straight.
Yeah, but we both played piano. And so this was, you know, like, let's go watch a showman play the piano. And it was, they were spectacles. They were beyond.
You understand that was an attempt at a joke.
Yes, I did. I did get that. But
miserably.
I was just passing by. I was just, you know, choosing to ignore that and go on because that's the easy joke. Yes, Lee is gay. Okay. All right. But here's the thing.
Oh, you were friends with him?
I was because we would go every year and we always. Well, the first year we sat up in the balcony, but then like in subsequent years, we always had to sit down front so we'd see all the spectacles right from up front. And there was points in his show where he would, you know, talk about his jewelry and his rings that he had, and he would lean over the stage and people would come up to the stage to see his rings really close. And so I ran up to see his rings and a bunch of adults were pushing me out of the way. And he actually was like, oh, let the little boy through here. And he basically like pulled me up on stage next to him and let me see the rings and told me where they were from and whatnot. And then I went back to my seat.
Did he grab your crotch?
He did not.
Because all gay men are pedophiles, you know.
It's true. That is one of those things. It's a preconceived idea there. So, mm-hmm. That, you know what? That you're joking, but I was thinking about this one day. I didn't hug my nephews very often growing up because I was always so paranoid about people thinking that gay people were pedophiles. So like when they were younger and whatnot, like I didn't really want to like hug them or whatever because I felt like people were looking at me like, what are you doing? What are you touching him for? It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, I understand that completely. I was not that way with my nieces and nephews because I was all over them. And that's the way my family is always. You're all over them. Mm-hmm. But any neighbor kids, as much as I loved them, I would be very careful around them. I would make sure that the mother or father was, these are things that we as gay people have to think about. that the average straight person doesn't have to think about. And those things are legion. The things that we had to consider, the way we spoke, not, you know, maybe not so much now, but when I was growing up, I had to make sure that there wasn't an ounce of femininity to me if I wanted to survive any situation, especially PE or anything where there's a lot of machismo and a lot of male hormones going on. You made sure that your S's weren't sibilant, and you made sure that you kept your voice in a nice deep register, and you know, and you sat with your legs, you know, kind of spread apart, and yet it never crossed them. All of those considerations that we as gay men had to make growing up are so lost to the general population, and also the young gays coming up right now. The things that we had to do just to survive, just to not get beaten up, were legion.
Yeah, I think it wasn't as bad when I was growing up. We're a decade or so difference in age.
Yes.
So thank you, your generation for making that happen. But then I do marvel at the fact now, as an adult looking back, that Liberace was so effeminate and was so over the top and was so just a screaming homosexual, and yet thrived in that environment where
the ladies loved him.
He had seven dining rooms in his house. According to this book, he had seven dining rooms in his house. He had the formal dining room. He had an informal dining room. He had a lanai dining room off the pool. He also had an outside informal dining room, a TV watching dining room, a buffet table, which I guess he's calling his sixth dining room. And his seventh one is in the blue room overlooking the twinkling lights of Hollywood.
Oh. You know, you got to start thinking about what's lacking in a person's life that they have to fill it with dining rooms. You know, I mean, what kind of emptiness is the dining room attempting to fill when you have six of them?
These concerts, though,
I've seen some of them on, you know, on video.
Yeah, but it was so amazing because as a kid, you're watching and he's playing in a big grand piano. And then two songs later, there's a new piano that he's playing. He would travel with his pianos, and there would be probably 15 or 16
pianos.
You gotta
wonder what's lacking in a person's life that he needs to fill it with pianos.
He would drive on stage in a Rolls Royce. He would
driven by his lover.
He would fly, he had these big capes where he would fly, he had the dancing water things. Now here's the thing. After I bought this book, and I was, what's the word? Replete with nostalgia. What's the word I'm looking for? I was
that'll work.
Okay, I was all nostalgic about it. I'm telling Zach about how amazing these
nostalgia
concerts were.
Nostalgia was coming out your ass.
Yeah. So I pulled up the old Google Music here and played some Liberace albums. Oh my God, they're so fucking boring. They are horrible.
I think the magic was in watching him.
Yes. Definitely.
We have a piano that plays itself. It's called a disclavier, and it's an older model because we got it 120 years ago, but it plays floppy disks. Okay, so that's the technology.
They have medication for that now.
I know. The generic is affordable. Anyway, one of the discs that we have, and the discs reproduce exactly what was done on the piano.
Yes, I mean, it is a MIDI recording, so it not only does the notes, but also the velocity and the, yes.
Okay. Thank you for that, because it was really necessary for my story.
Anyway, it was very necessary.
Uh-huh. We have a disc that is Liberace playing the piano, so basically we can stick it in and Liberace fills our house with the piano music. And it's really quite wonderful because it's him playing. So it's like he's in our living room playing the piano. I miss the outfits and the
car driving.
You
don't make Drew wear the outfits? Or?
Well, not when the piano's playing, because his outfits plug in. And if we do the piano the outfit plug in, it blows the circuit breaker.
Blows
and
fuse.
By blows the circuit breaker, I mean.
Oh! Uh-huh.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Look at you with the innuendos.
That's a, isn't that a, I think it's a Spanish suppository or an Italian suppository. Where do
innuendo.
I put it?
Innuendo.
Innuendo. Yeah. Yeah, you put it right. Innuendo. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. You know, humor like that can be found all over the excellent film Buckaroo Banzai, Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension.
You are just the master of the segue.
Which... you watched. I'm surprised. I was going to watch Cabaret, which I did not.
I'm deeply disappointed in you, Daniel. I ask such little of you.
So little of me.
So little of you.
But I will watch Cabaret. But I was surprised. You went and watched Buckaroo Banzai.
It was free.
Because it is on Amazon Prime.
For free.
And... so I was like, oh, fuck, now I've got to watch it. Because I don't remember, you know, I have... I have young adulthood memories of this movie being great. Let me just rewatch it to see exactly.
Yes, you not only stated it was great, you said that that's your favorite film of all time.
Favorite film of all time. Now, I feel like that was an accurate statement for 21, 22-year-old Daniel, that was my favorite film of all time. But I it's a contextual thing, right? I think on the last show you were talking about how we are predisposed, biased even towards liking the first time that we do something, you know, like liking
exactly.
the first thing of something that we do. Buckaroo Banzai was a film that I watched with my first real group of friends outside of high school. You know, I had a D&D group that all became friends and we would do things together on the weekends.
D&D for the uninformed?
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. It was before video games, before massively multiplayer online video games, we would meet up at kitchen tables and play Dungeons and Dragons in person. But they would be these long D&D sessions that would then, you know, devolve into just social drinking and talking and laughing and watching stupid movies and whatever. And Buckaroo Banzai was one of those films that is so steeped in geek culture that, you know, it just hit our group because we were a very... geeky group. It just hit our humor level correctly at that time, and we would all quote the lines to each other all the time. You know, no matter where you go, there you are, the douche you say. You know, the just all kinds of lines from that film. And I watched
believe
it.
That the original, no matter where you go, there you are, was stated by Yogi Berra, I think, because he was known for his wisdom was stupid sayings, but they had some wisdom to them. And Drew and I say that a lot. No matter where you go, there you are. Meaning, if you have problems inside, if you have things worrying you and troubling you, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in your house or if you're on a cruise ship, those troubles come with you.
Yeah.
They're with you. So no matter where you go, there you are. So anyway, continue with
revisiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you revisited without the context of
correct.
All your
I
friends.
I revisited and, without and the that, context. That. And while it was a very fun film to watch, I don't know that I would currently say that it was my favorite film of all time. It was, but look at the cast. The cast is so freaking amazing, right? Peter Weller, John Lithgow, Jeff Goldblum, Ellen Barkin, Clancy Brown, Christopher Lloyd. What's the guy that you never know his name?
Vincent Schiavelli.
Yes, Vincent Schiavelli. Just the amount of people in this movie.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to address, because I did indeed watch it. I watched it in one sitting, and I watched it very closely, and I watched it with an open heart more than an open mind, because when somebody loves something, you want to give that an opportunity to be as non-judgmental as you can. So that's what I did. And what I found was, and what I was going to say, was that it's a cartoon. It's a comic book, I should say, not a cartoon. It is very much a comic book of a movie. Some technological, really probably very inventive things at that time. Well acted. I thought, as opposed to you thinking that John Lithgow was incredible, I thought he was way over the top. And the accent was hideous. I mean, the accent was, I don't know. It says in the IMDb that he was like taking, he had an Italian who was on the set read all the lines and then he was imitating them. If that's the case, he's not very good at imitation, because it was a hideous, hideous Italian accent. And the man was screaming through the whole movie. There was absolute, except for when in the very beginning when he's in the little rocket car headed for the wall, he's screaming through the whole thing. So that was a slight disagreement I had. I can see where it'd be entertaining. I can see where a young person would find it, especially in that era, good. I'm not a fan of Ellen Barkin, so I had to get past that. She did an excellent job. I adore Jeff Goldblum. Love him. And he was very funny.
You know, Jamie Lee also, Curtis was in this film also.
Yes, I know. And she...
and Yakov Smirnoff.
Yes. Let me put it this way.
Yes.
Oh, first of all, a coincidence that I found, and that it's a very funny coincidence. Well, it's funny to me. It's not going to be funny to anybody else. My husband, Drew, owns his own business, and it has a lot of, he deals with agencies and actors and all kinds of stuff about contracts and stuff that I have no concept about, but he is involved with communicating with actors all the time, and he becomes friends with some of them, not that so that they come over for dinner and shit like that, but you know, work friends kind of thing where it's more than, hi, you know, we need to get you the 20 grand. It's, hi, how you doing? How's the kids? And okay, we got to talk about the 20 grand.
If
they
saw you guys sitting at a restaurant, they may stop and go, hey, Drew.
And say, hey, good to see you. And then, they wouldn't sit down.
No.
Although the one I'm going to talk about may, because he's an unusual fella. One of the people that's close to Drew in that way is a man who is now primarily a musician by the name of Billy Vera. And Billy Vera played Pinky whatever. And apparently he had a lot more to do in that film, but it got cut out, which is pretty typical. But to see Billy Vera, I was like, whoa, I had one of those brain farts where it's not, why am I watching Buckaroo Banzai for Daniel? But there's Billy Vera, young Billy Vera. And this is the weird thing, okay? We talk about Buckaroo Banzai. You bring it into my consciousness and Drew's consciousness, and I watch the film and I see Billy Vera. And once again, you know, Billy Vera is, Drew is Facebook friends with Billy and that kind of stuff. Out of nowhere, and for the first time ever, Billy Vera posts a picture on his Facebook page the day after I watched that fucking film of him. This is me as Pinky Wedawut in Buckaroo Banzai Adventures. The fuck? Drew was like, his eyes started bleeding and his ears were like, smoke was coming out and they were spinning because he's like, how is that possible? Well, it's the ethers.
It's the
Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension was just in the air. And I think that's probably where it belongs because seriously, no.
It did not hold up well. I will say, having rewatched it, it did not hold up well. I still enjoyed it. I would say it is no longer my favorite movie of all times. If I were to be asked what my favorite movie of all times was, I would of course say Galaxy Quest because that is the correct answer. But Buckaroo Banzai is just one of the...
When was the last time you watched Galaxy Quest?
Oh, much like the Scott and Drew household, I don't have many traditions, but watching Galaxy Quest yearly is a tradition that I still follow. In fact, there was
a
documentary.
Day?
No, just yearly. It gets watched at least once. I own a copy of it because it was, for the longest time, it was not available on streaming platforms. So I had to watch it on DVD, but it's now available for streaming on Amazon Prime. But just this past year, there was a documentary made about Galaxy Quest that we went to the pre-showing of whatever, like one of those Fandango events where they do the pre screening of those things, and then they have the cast there available for Q&A afterwards. So we went and saw that. Zach and I both went and saw that this past year. So that's, I mean, Galaxy Quest I love, and it is an amazing movie. But unlike Buckaroo Banzai, you know, Galaxy Quest is meant to be funny, right? Buckaroo Banzai was like trying to take itself seriously while still being kind of trying to be campy.
Well,
it walked a really weird line. Yeah,
it was tongue in cheek. I mean, it was. Yeah, it was tongue in cheek, but Galaxy Quest, I enjoyed very much. Of course, the late great Alan Rickman, I adore him.
By Goraptha's hammer.
Well, I wouldn't know that.
You shall be avenged.
Because I've only seen it maybe twice and enjoyed it both times.
Well, good news for you. It's available on Amazon Prime for streaming.
Son of a bitch. Gosh, you know, and I've tied up, I think, for the at least a couple of years. But the point, is there a point? The point is that, well, I don't know what the point was. The point was probably that the what we respond to, what I may have said this last time, what we respond to is a, it's a very personal thing. And it does, and there's no right or wrong to it. Is the bottom line is there's no right or wrong to how you feel about something. My mother, the 93-year-old pain in the ass that she is, would always say, well, why do you like that? And she would say it like that. Why do you like that? And if you asked her, what do you mean? Why? What do you? Well, I'm curious. I want to know why, you know, I want to know what you're thinking. Why? Well, you know, you don't go then. Why do you like that? Like there's something wrong with liking it. There is nothing wrong with liking anything. There is, you know, if you like axe murderers and watching that, I think there's something wrong with that. But
so there are. So there are things like voting for Trump or watching axe murderers.
I never say that name. He is the orange shit stain or toss.
See, now that gets into it. Harry Potter territory where it's like we don't say Voldemort's name. But then someone rightly points out is like, if you do that, you just give him more power. It's just like, no, he's Trump. He's just a stupid head named Trump. It's like, don't make him into more than he is.
The orange shit stain doesn't make him into more than he is. The orange shit stain pretty much says what he is. An orange shit stain.
But at the same time, you know, I regularly roll my eyes when right-wing folks like make, you know, like Shillery or something. They make puns on people's names or whatever, and I roll my eyes at it. And so I avoid doing it this way because I don't want to give, you know, I don't want to give the same satisfaction. It's like, no, I'll talk about him as a real idiot, as a real living, breathing idiot of a person whose name is Donald J. Trump.
The orange shit stain.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, no, you're right. What you like.
Yeah, no. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, no. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, sorry. To put a bow on this little segment, though, I would like to say that both Galaxy Quest and Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary, are both available on Prime Video for free if you are an Amazon Prime member. So I highly recommend both.
Thank you. And I highly recommend
it's
Cabaret.
It's movie recommendation time.
That's from my show. My old show, VeraSpeaks.com.
Mm-hmm. Vera, well, no, your old show was Vera Speaks for Real. The website was VeraSpeaks.com.
Oh, Christ. Okay, we run out of things to talk about that we're going here?
Well, you know, these are important things. We don't want to say the wrong thing. Like for instance.
Yes.
There is a word.
Is this going to be a good
segue? There is a word that I see written often. And I hear people pronounce it the same way that you pronounced it, which is?
Quixotic.
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 Now, you know what it means, right?
Yes.
That you are being very Don Quixote-like.
Yes.
Right? So why is it not quixotic? Why is it quixotic? It's like you don't call him Don Quixoto, right? It's just like it's Don Quixote, which is what the etymology of the word is, Quixote. So it's like, why isn't it quixotic?
Well, let me tell you, and this is an important, I think this is really, really an important issue and something probably that may have a profundity to it. I'm not too sure, but I will say this.
Yes.
I have no fucking idea at all. Why? I just know that it's pronounced quixotic and that indeed he was Don Quixote, always trying to chase down and slay windmills, which was a representation of the futility of life.
But also,
the idea, the concept of never, ever giving up. I am my Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild winds of fortune will carry me onward, whithersoever they blow. Whithersoever they blow. Onward to glory I go.
Anyway, that's not important. The important
part is... What's important right now?
What is important right now?
You know what's important right now? And this is going to sound corny as fuck, is caring for each other. That's what's important right now. Caring for each other, loving one another, taking care of each other, being kind. Please, if you can just do something, be kind. You don't have to go out of your way to be sweet and nice. Just be fucking kind. God damn, you're such an asshole. That was because I was being unkind as a joke.
No. I didn't have it ready. Now go ahead. Give me your little speech.
I said, just please be kind to one another. If you can't, if you can't do anything else, just be kind.
You know, listeners, for minimal effort on your part, you could go to iTunes and leave
kind.
Us a review. Only one person has done so. This makes us sad. We would like a couple
no,
of people to do this.
You know what? Wait a minute, Daniel. Yes, instead of crying because it's over, smile because it happened. We got one. We should be very grateful and thankful that that person took time out of their hectic whatever and wrote a very kind iTunes review. And we have one. And it's kind. Now get off your asses, everybody else, and put them up there, you motherfuckers. And be kind. Be kind.
Be kind, yes. Also, we would like to say a very, very special thank you to Sam in the Hinterlands and Michael Fine, who both wrote us in with lovely emails. We don't have time to read them now. Maybe we'll do a mailbox episode after we get a few more emails,
like one of those mailbox episodes. Oh, yeah. So we could read them in funny different voices.
We could make I don't do voices. I think that
yes, I know. I listen to Callbox 7. Callback 7.
On that note, I think it is time for us to... Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company.
F-U-C-K-Y-O-U. Yes. Your mama has to go pee. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, and we will talk to you again next week.
Next week.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you would like to contact the show, use our email, contact@thatdarnelvis.com. You can also visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. Scott can be found on Twitter @AntiVera, and Daniel can be reached @DanielBrewer.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 40 Fuck Me Whole. Go to pride48.com.